I want to welcome us to Wisdom Assembly and those who are joining us on Facebook Live, on the internet. Welcome to church this morning. Please, let's be seated. Hallelujah. I'm always excited to stand before the people of God and to share the little I believe that God wants me to share and expatiate in our hearts. I always believe that when we open our hearts, we will always learn something. We'll always learn something. You know, the Bible says we know in part. We know only in part. And from time to time, God exposes things to us for our benefit so that we can use them to build our lives, build our marriages, build our children, build our future. This morning, I want to continue from where we left off last week. The title for the message last week was, What About the Future? Today is, What About That Future? Part 2. What About That Future? Part 2. I'll take my text from Genesis 25. You may hear me repeat some things. They say repetition is the mother of perfection. The more we repeat it, the more it resonates in our spirit, man. The more we commit ourselves, submit ourselves to activating them in doing them. Praise the Lord. From the scripture we read earlier in Hebrews 4 and verse 2, that many heard it, but they did not mix it with faith. The key thing is not just in the hearing. The key thing is in the hearing and the doing. So I'm praying that the Holy Spirit of God will speak to you as you as I'm speaking. You'll be hearing the voice of God, and you will know what to action and what to do, how to reposition and position yourself. Praise the Lord. Genesis 25, I read from verse 29 through to 34. Genesis 25, 29 through to 34. Now Jacob cooked a stew. And Esau came in from the field, and he was very weary. And Esau said to Jacob, please feed me with that same red stew. I am weary, for I am weary. If you can underline on your Bible, please feed me with that same red stew. That same red stew. For I am weary. Therefore, his name was called Edom. But Jacob said, sell me your birthright as of this day. And Esau said, look, I'm about to die. So what is this birthright to me? Then Jacob said, swear to me as of this day. So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils. Then he ate and drank, arose, went his way. Thus, Esau, underline that too. Thus, Esau despised his birthright, or disregarded his birthright, or gave away his birthright. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So last Sunday, we talked about the Esau and the Jacob mentality. Esau, the hunter, kills what he gets, while Jacob, the nurturer, nurtures what he has. The Esau's of this world live in the moment. I want it now. While the Jacobs are cautious of both the now and the future. They don't trivialize the now, and they value so highly the future. A time will come, the hunter does not realize that a time will come, he will go to hunt and he will not be able to catch anything. He will return with nothing. has nothing to fall on. He has nothing to fall back on. A lot of people's salary earners live from hand to mouth. Get the salary, finish the salary before the next salary is paid. An emergency happens, nothing to fall back on. Nothing physically to fall back on. Nothing spiritually to fall back on. I strongly believe that that's not the will of God. While the cultivator will always have something to eat, he will always have something to trade with. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Proverbs 23, I want you to look at it. I'm going to make some very strong statements. Proverbs 23, I read from verse 21 through to 23. For the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty, and drowsiness will clothe a man with rags. He says, listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. By the truth. Everybody say, by the truth. Come on, come on, with a loud voice. Let the people on the internet hear you. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Truth is value. Do not sell it. Also, wisdom and instruction and understanding. There may be no drunkard here, but if you consume everything you get part time until the next payday, you are in trouble. You just don't know it yet. Somebody said, money is only meaningful when it's in the right hands. That's ouch. Money is only meaningful when it is in good hands. What hand is the right hand? What hand is the good hand? The hand that can process it. The hand that can stretch it. The hand that knows how to invest it for future purposes. When we talk about financial future, so a lot of people, believe me sincerely, it's a maybe. Oh, it's too far out. I want you to turn your maybe today into I can and I will build a financial future for myself and my family. Remember, life is not just about what you hear. Life is about the decisions you make and the decisions you action, the decisions you actualize. I am going to, I am going to, I am going to, I am going to, I am going to. When are you going to? When are you going to start thinking of your financial future? When are you going to start thinking of your family future? When are you going to start actioning a plan? For example, the things we've been learning here, I will assume that this church will spread the word. Come and hear the words of value. You know, good news don't travel quickly. But let it be something negative. Everybody will be in church today. Something negative happens. You just wonder, how did they know? Because somebody told them and they told somebody and they told somebody. But when it is good news, we don't tell anybody. We don't encourage ourselves in good things. Did you hear the good news? No. Did you hear what happened? You turn the news. It's bad news galore. Evil speakings galore. You get weary, you get tired. It sinks your heart. I believe I'm pumping you with good news today. The future of the cultivator is definitely bright. The future of a wise investor is definitely bright. It's brighter than the future of the hunter. The cultivator is destined to multiply, while the hunter is destined to diminish. Esau is destined to keep running back to the bush. Even when the day of his blessing came, he had nothing in hand. He ran to the bush. He had nothing in the backyard that he can say, let me quickly do it and prepare for my father to bless me. He had to go into the bush, and there was no guarantee he was going to catch anything. Why will it be that when the day of your blessing comes, when your day of opportunity comes, when your day of transformation comes, what you need for your benefit, what you need for your transformation, you don't have it at hand? You need to say, wait for me, I am coming. The wise virgins and the foolish virgins, borrow me, lend me. No, you knew that the master was coming. Why didn't you have enough? While he ran to the bush, the cultivator who had mulch in the backyard just went to the backyard and took one of the many he had, and he took his place. I pray that you will not lose your place. In Jesus' name. I pray that you will not lose your place of blessing. In Jesus' mighty name. So we see in this story we read, Esau came home hungry. He came home from hunting, probably caught nothing, but very hungry. And he saw his brother who had food, stew seething on the pot. You know, when you go to restaurants and you order your food, some of us don't know how to order because we don't know the menu well. And then you order whatever you want, and they bring yours, and then a minute later you are hearing the waitress carrying a plate and it's sizzling. It catches your attention. I'm sure your mind will tell you, why didn't I order that one that is sizzling? Hello, somebody. Am I speaking to you? Praise the Lord. You know? I mean, one day I went to a restaurant back in England. I was a student in Italy. Traveled to England. Went to a restaurant. I was posing. I had a lot of money. I was just given a lot of money. The money was dazzling me. Went to an expensive restaurant. They brought the menu. I wasn't even sure what I was ordering. But I saw this thing say, tartar. And I liked the sound of it, tartar. I said, give me that one. I was with somebody. And they brought it. Oh my God. It was raw grinded meat with raw eggs. But I've already ordered tartar. I have to continue the posing. But just for one try. You know. Praise the Lord. Stew was seething in the pot. Esau was licking his dry lips. Esau said, Jake, please feed me with that same red stew, for I'm weary. Give me what you have. The same thing you have is what I want. What you have at hand now is what I want. And like I shared with the workers this morning, there's a probability this was not the first time this was happening. And Jacob took advantage. Smart guy. I said, okay, you want the stew? Yes. Okay, will you give me your birthright? Come on, man. I said, I'm hungry. I'm about to die. Number one, lunch, skipping lunch will not kill anybody. Or skipping supper will not kill anybody. You're about to die? What do you want for it? I want your birthright. My birthright? You can have it. I'm coming back to that. But the thing is, everybody wants the finished product. But the moment he mentioned, give me your birthright, he could have said, you know what? I'm not that desperate. But okay, if you can't give me the stew, can you teach me how to make it? What's the recipe? Think about it. Esau wanted one meal. One meal for his future. One meal. Jacob was ready to give him one meal. Even people who gamble and win. Some people win chicken for their lifetime. Huh? Wheel of Fortune the other day. I can't remember what the question was. And this girl said, Popeye. She missed it. But then Popeye gave her chicken for a lifetime. Esau did not even say, you are going to feed me every day of my living life. You are going to feed me every day of my waking life for my birthright. No, 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 no. He just said, you can have it. The consumerism mentality wants what you have now. I don't care to know how you made it. I don't care to know the process. I don't care to know the recipe. Just give me the finished product. I remember when my family, we wanted to do some ceremony or whatnot, and we needed to buy some clothes for ourselves, you know, traditional wares. African print. Guess where we bought it from? From China. China is making African prints. Africa is not making African prints. Nigerians are crazy for lace. And some lace are so expensive. It can be one person's mortgage for a month or two. But it's not made in Nigeria. It's made either Chinese now makes lace for the African market. Austria makes lace. Switzerland. Oh, they will say this one is Swiss voile, and everybody goes crazy. But bring the one from Aswani. You understand what I'm trying to say? You know, we have sold our birthright. Leaders have sold the birthright of Africa 10 times over. Nigeria used to be the largest producer of palm oil. Malaysians came, took palm oil. Now they are the largest producers. Nigeria used to be the largest producer of groundnut. I remember when I was young, back in a place called Ibadan, they have groundnut mountains. There's even no groundnut playing ground anymore. Think about it. You go to the stores now, buy Swiss chocolate. When did the Swiss, where did they plant chocolate? Belgian chocolate, Godiva, Nestle. We get it, we sell it, and we buy it back because we want it now at any cost. Do I want to know how it's made? I want you to think, when I mention a car, mention the country. BMW. Volkswagen. Mercedes-Benz. Maserati. Lamborghini, Italy, right? Ferrari. Come on, speak to me. Chevrolet. Ford. Porsche. Porsche is made in Germany. Look at the whole population of Africa. If there's any car maker, it's only one. Innocent. Who knows him? We think if we buy Innocent's car, nobody will look at us twice. That what are you driving? Abba made. I'm serious. What are you riding? And the ones we make, I mean, I've read reviews on innocent cars. They are very good, durable, excellent. But beside that, even when we make stuff, they are inferior. Go to just Menards. And say you want to buy a block. The kind of block we use in building houses in Nigeria. You know the Nigerian block, you buy it, carry it. Before you carry it from that place, it has broken into two. It's sand. Now they use it to build houses. After a couple of years, the house is falling. Menard's block. I go and look at these things. I carried it. $3 something. I carried it. I couldn't lift one just with my hands easily. It's so solid. For you to break it, you will use serious strength to break it. Nigeria, you don't need strength. Karate. Ha, ha. Inferior. We celebrate inferiority. We don't try to make anything that will last for the next generation to inherit. Somebody will build a house after a while. The house is sinking. It's coming down. Government house is here. I don't know when Kansas City, the mayor says, let's renovate the city hall. What are they renovating? They built it to last. House of Assembly in Nigeria, they want to spend $1 something billion to renovate. They're not renovating. They are lining their pockets. That's the Esau mentality. And you know what? You might say, well, I'm not part of it. No, it's catching up on us. Only very few are saying, you know what? I'm going to stand out and I'm going to be different. Being creative. A generation of consumers will get to a time they will not have anymore because they will start borrowing to consume. Borrowing to consume. Borrowing to consume. After a while, there will be nothing left. We want what other people have. Okay, quite all right. We're asking questions, but are we asking the right questions? Can you give me that same stew? It's a question. But is it the right question to sell your future for? I'll give you my future for what I want now. You buy vacation on the future money you are yet to earn. You do weddings on the future money you are yet to earn. Oh, we can give you payment plan. Brethren, if you cannot delay your gratification, you will sell your eventuality. I repeat it again. If you cannot delay your gratification, you will sell your eventuality. Esau used what he has, which is of more value, to buy what he wants, which is of less value. Jacob, on the other hand, smart man. He used what he has of less value to buy what he desired of a higher value. What are you exchanging your future for? That's a question everybody needs to ask themselves and answer. What are you exchanging your future for? That day when Esau said, what's the birthright to me anyway? You can have it. And Jacob says, swear. And he swore an oath. You see, the stew you can see. You can touch, you can taste. But the future you can't see, you can't touch, you can't taste. But it was of more importance than what you can see, touch, and taste. If you are driven by your feelings, you negotiate away your future. I've said it here before. Don't negotiate when you are hungry. Don't go shopping at Walmart when you are hungry. You will buy things you don't need. Don't negotiate important things when you are tired. You give away what you are not meant to give away. The stew is for now. The birthright is for the future. You have to ask yourself, which one is more important to you? Eating my future now or preserving it for the time to come? Every one of us will do well when we nurture our future by sowing our seed of today into our future. The future is only guaranteed based on the seed you have sown, and you keep on sowing into it today. On the other hand, like Esau, if you consume your seed today, hoping for a better tomorrow, that hope is hollow hope. Hollow hope. Praise the Lord. The guaranteed thing that will make your tomorrow better is what you do for that tomorrow today. Ask your neighbor, what are you doing for your tomorrow today? What are you doing? How are you nurturing your tomorrow? Ecclesiastes 11 verse 1 says, cast your bread upon the waters, for you'll find it after many days. Put it there. Not just in one thing, in various things. Diversify because of your future. If you read that scripture going down, he says you don't know whether it's this one or it's that one. I'm sure Jacob was more concerned about his future than Esau was. If not, he would not have come up with that plan to say, sell me your birthright. Are you concerned? Are you concerned about your future? About your marital future? Your children's future? Your financial future? Are you concerned? If you are, you begin to do something about it. You begin to ask the right questions. You begin to go to the right people and asking the right questions. And asking, seeking for help. How can I secure my financial future? And in the same way, only those who are concerned about their eternal future, do something about it today. Because if you are concerned about your eternal future, because this earth, from what we know in scripture, is not going to be forever. Not everybody has seen heaven. Some people make light of heaven, make light of hell. Believe me sincerely, it is real. Heaven is real, hell is real. By the grace of God, I know, because I have caught a glimpse of both. The day I got born again, it was hell that I saw. If you are concerned about your eternal future, don't leave it too late to ask Jesus to come into your life today. It's about today. It's about today. It's about today. It's about the decisions you make today, the things you begin to action today. Just as sowing, investing, both spiritually and physically, can guarantee your financial future. The only thing that can guarantee your eternal future is Jesus Christ. The only person, Jesus is the only one who can guarantee your eternal future with God. Oh, Pastor, don't worry. When we get there, we'll cross that bridge. No, when you get there, concerning heaven and hell, you are not crossing any bridge. So you can't afford to live your life anyhow. You can't afford to live your life frivolously. Praise the Lord. Think about it. Esau wants the stew now. And Jacob negotiated what Esau will become. Give me what you will become. Let me buy what you will become. Let me buy your future. And sharing with the workers, you have a store card. You are selling your future. Buying things on higher purchase. You are selling your future. The money your future will require, you are spending it today. Maybe you want to show off to somebody. You want people to know that you are important. You know, where I come from originally, they say, what you wear is not what makes you important. I'll say it in Yoruba, forgive me. Check it in your dictionary. Ashonla, koleyonla. Because you are wearing big designer clothes, you might be as empty as the air that pumps that designer clothes. What you wear is not what gives you value. But in our natural eyes, we want to value those who are wearing big stuff. If somebody comes in now with big regalia, I'm folding it here and there. Our mind is telling us, man, that guy gotta be rich. And yet he has nothing. He doesn't have a job. I've been to places where I saw millionaires, yachts on the sea. And those who are coming down from it are just wearing ordinary slides, shorts, tattered t-shirts, worn t-shirts. But they own the boat. And they come down there, sit down, eat the kind of meal you can't dream of, and pay the kind of amount you can't dream of. They have something to fall back on. A lot of people's tomorrow have been negotiated away, and yet they don't realize it. Do you have regard for your positional future? Or like Esau, you don't care? When your paycheck arrives, before it arrives, it's finished. I had a man of God say, when he was growing up, and his father is coming on payday. Number one, he's drunk. And then the money he will leave is the money to pay for the loan they took last week or last month and go to the market. They have a book. They have a book for their family where they write their name and what they take. You know, book me down. So they book them down. That's a sorry life. That's a sorry life. We may not be as desperate as that. But the thing is, can we afford to go, keep going the way we are going without regard for the future? Are we that desperate like Esau? Desperation made him make that grievous error. Are we that desperate like Esau that we are giving away something of value because we are so desperate? I've had some young girls say because they are desperate to go to school, so they had to give their bodies to somebody to pay them so that they can go to school. That is BS. Don't let desperation make you lose what is more valuable in your life. You know why? Because you will regret it. You regret it. I said earlier, when your life is ruled by feelings and not by principles, you'll sell short your future. Don't let your life be ruled by feelings. Don't go buying when you are hungry. Don't go buying when you are needy. You will overspend. You buy, you bring home things you don't need. Praise the Lord. Am I communicating with somebody? Guard your future. Guard your future jealously. Don't make it cheap. Don't cheapen it. From where you are, from where you and I are now, it may not seem like much. But let's keep on investing in it. Let's keep on investing in it. And then when the fullness of time is come, then you will know that that which you have been nurturing will pay you off. Beyond our financial future, folks, let's have eternity in view. We can't labor for our financial future and not labor for our heavenly future. And not labor for our eternal future. I want to enjoin us this morning that as we are committed to building our financial future, let's be submitted to God for the sake of eternity. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, and I read verse 20 and 22. Verse 20 to 22, sorry. Revelation 3, 20 to 22. Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." I want us to rise up on our feet because my time is spent. Think deeply and process what your future means to you. The future will not be meaningful when we get there. It should be meaningful before we get there. I want us to sing this song and I want you to pray as we all rise on our feet. I'm more concerned about our eternal future than I'm concerned about our financial future. They are both of value, but one is more of value than the other. And because you are heaven focused does not mean you deny yourself everything you can enjoy while you are here on earth. Lift up your two hands to heaven. Into my heart, into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus, come in today, come in to stay, come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Will you talk to him that, Lord, I don't want to lose eternity with you. Whatever, oh Lord, that I have that will make me lose eternity, Lord, help me to hold fast to it. Whatever will connect me to eternity, Lord, help me not to lose it. Jesus, I need you in my life. I need you in my heart. I need you in my destiny. You are the guarantee of my future. Yes, I know what I can do concerning my financial future, but you are the only one who can guarantee my eternal future. I don't want to run after my financial future at the expense of my eternal future. Lord, help me so that heaven at last will be my portion. Heaven at last will be our portion. That while we are here on this earth, will be a blessing. Our future will be a blessing. A blessing to us, a blessing to generations. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Almighty God, your word has been spoken again. Lord, the little we have said, Holy Spirit of God, expatiate it in our heart. Let it be, O God, that we cannot say we did not hear it. Let it be, O God, that we do something about it. That we will not continue our lives just the way we used to. Help us to make the right changes. Help us to tweak what we need to tweak. Help us, Jehovah God of heaven, not to sell our future for fleeting things. For things we can do by ourselves. Esau could have cooked by himself. But he lost his future. Lord, I pray that we will not lose our future. And any one of us, oh God, who may think they have gone too far and there's no way back. Lord, I know that with you, while we are still breathing, there's always a way back. Give everyone a way back. A way back to the right track. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you have been blessed, give God praise. Give him glory. Hallelujah.